Y'all know what a medley is? Not a melody, but a medley. That's not a redneck way to say melody. It's a medley. It's a combination. It is well with my soul. He hideth my soul. Was there another one? I didn't think so. Okay. Did y'all catch that? Okay, good. Amen. I'm glad you caught it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Some of you are still trying to figure out what I'm talking about, but that's okay. I love you anyway. 2 Corinthians 11 tonight. We're going to begin there. Brother DeShazo handed me some vital, crucial, of great importance information last week. And I had to share it with the church. The question is, do you know your hymns? Do you know your hymns? In the hymn book, this very hymn book right here, do you know which hymns would be considered the dentist hymns? Crown him with many crowns. Or maybe when I see the blood. There's also one for the weatherman. There's more than one for the weatherman. There shall be showers of blessing, the unclouded day. There's also one, now I'm not making this up, this is in our hymnal. I don't know all these songs. For the golfer. I don't know if anybody golfs or not, but I don't really golf, I hack. It's called, page 87, There is a Green Hill Far Away. The IRS agent has a hymnal in our hymn in our hymnal as well. Page 394, we play it, we sing it a lot. I surrender all. You probably know the gossips hymns. I love to tell the story. Oh, for a thousand tongues. The electrician's hymn, page 30. Send the light. There you go. Here's one for the ladies that love to shop. Shop, 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 shop. Page 118, the sweet by and by. You'll get that in a minute. The realtors, Brother DeVito and his family know a little bit about who a realtor is. The realtor's hymn, page 84, Mansion Over the Hilltop. Okay. Now here, let me finish with these. There's more, but I don't have time for all that. These are some hymns for people driving on the highway. When you're going around 45, it's page number 405. God be with you. When you get up to 65, it's page 338. Nearer, my God, to thee. When you get up to 85, it's 229, page 229. This world is not my home. You get up to page 95 miles an hour, you need to turn to page 384. Lord, I'm coming home. And if you go over 100 miles, there's several in here for you. Now I belong to Jesus. And precious memories. You didn't know all that stuff about those hymns, did you? Amen. Those hymns mean more than what you think they mean. All right, let's stand together. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Brother DeShazo handed me that very important information. He said, preacher, the whole church needs to know this. I said, okay, I'll share it with them. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. See, there you go. That's what I just did, a little of my folly. And indeed, bear with me, verse 2, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, preachers always fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let me preach to you from that verse there, the end of verse 3, the simplicity that is in Christ. Let's pray. Father, it's been good, Lord, to be in your house today. It's been a wonderful blessing to hear from you, to see our brethren, to fellowship, to laugh, to sing praises, to bow our knee, to have your word, Lord God, speak and work and mold us. And Lord, tonight we're here again, needy, but Lord, we know that there's no limit to the power of your word, Lord, to the working of your spirit, and we praise you for it. And God, tonight we ask you, not because we deserve it, but Father, because we need it, that you would work once again in all of our hearts. Fill this room, God, with liberty. Cast down anything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought, I pray, Lord God, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Casting down, Lord, the strongholds. And Lord, binding the devil. Pleading the blood of Jesus is our prayer tonight. Father, you would help me. Fill me with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. Simplicity in Christ. When I was in the Navy, I learned a lot of acronyms. Military is just known for acronyms. I don't know why that is, but it is. An acronym is a word formed by using the first letters or groups of other words. For example, COMNAV, Communications Navigation. BUMED, the Bureau of Medicine. And they didn't say the Bureau of Medicine, they said BUMED. Or maybe an abbreviation, initials, BZ. When you got a BZ, you wonder, what in the world is that? It's a Bravo Zulu. That's a well done. That's a job well done. The MCPON. 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 That's how you said it. That's the Master Chief Petty Officer of the Navy. HAZMAT. Most of you know what that is. Hazardous material. The OBA. You had to don your OBA. Donning means to put on. OBA is your oxygen breathing apparatus. If you were ever in a fire where there was smoke, you had to know how to don your OBA so that your face was protected and you could breathe. Kind of like a firefighter. SECNAV. Secretary of the Navy. He was at my boot camp graduation, by the way. UCMJ, this is one you don't really want to know much about. That's a Uniform Code of Military Justice. And it's a lot easier to say UCMJ. Here's one, PRT. Physical Readiness Test. Oh boy, that was not my favorite. But here's what I want to get to tonight. There was one also that you learned in the military, and you probably heard it before. Some of these are also in the civilian world. And that was KISS. K-I-S-S. And in the Navy, it made sense. It was keep it simple, sailor. Keep it simple. Now, that last S could be other things. But we're going to say keep it simple, sailor. Or keep it simple, saint of God. Keep it simple. I believe, listen, tonight, as Christians, we have many times, and we do many times, overcomplicate Christianity. We overcomplicate Christianity. We make things too complicated. We just make things too convoluted, way too intricate. It's simple. There should be simplicity. Simplicity in Christ. According to our scripture here, the life of a Christian ought to be simple.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And if I was to take a poll tonight and ask all of you here who are saved, living a Christian life, I don't know how many of you would honestly say, this is simple. But it should be.
Amen.
It's supposed to be.
Yes, sir.
Simple. Hey, you know, this is not deep. I'm not going to wow you with profundity. I think that's a word. I'm not going to wow you with the depths of the mysteries of Christ tonight. I'm going to try to help you understand that simple is much less confusing than complicated.
Amen.
Simple is much less confusing than complicated. Simple is more enjoyable. Simple is more enjoyable. The Bible says in Romans 14, verse 17, that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not meat and drink and law and bondage. It's righteousness which brings peace and joy through the Holy Ghost. It should be that simple. Simple is much more enjoyable than complicated. Simple is much more efficient. Efficient. When you have a room full of clutter, you can't even find your bed. That's complicated. When you have a house full of clutter, Brother DeVito and his family just moved into their house. There was clutter. That's expected when you move in, but you don't expect it to stay that way. Amen? And I know that they're not going to leave it that way. I tell you one thing, when we move, you better look out. My wife is an unpacking machine. She unpacks boxes until she's done. She won't sleep for days. She will get those boxes up, out of the way, unpacked and all over the shelf, and she'll work those girls and she'll work that boy, and I'll have to go to work somewhere else. Amen. But she, listen, it's just the way she is. Thank God for it. But what, clutter is not good. Clutter is complicated. Clutter is not, clutter brings confusion. Simplicity is less confusing. It's more efficient because you have less clutter. You have less dead weight. You have less distractions.
Right.
It's distracting when you're trying to walk to the kitchen for a midnight snack and you trip over the dog's toy. Not that I've ever done that. I've thought maybe I should not do that. But listen, it's a distraction. It's, and it complicates things, and it can even frustrate you. Amen. Simple is much more enjoyable. It's less painful too, not to mention. It's more efficient. It's more, hey listen, let me say this to you. Simple is more inviting to others.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Simple is more attractive to other people. Enjoyable efficiency. That's what I'm talking about. Simple being enjoyable. Being rejoicing and being glad and having joy and being efficient. Getting things done. Getting things accomplished for the glory of God with joy. Being glad. You know what that does? That attracts other people. That attracts, that invites other people to see, wow, there's a simple-hearted, loving church that is doing something for God, and it's attracting other people.
Amen.
It's not all about clutter and ritual and rites, and it's about Christ.
Yes, amen.
Simplicity. It's enjoyable, it's attractive, it's appealing. As opposed to drudgery and burdensome and toil and grind. Church, man,
come on, man.
Is church a grind to you?
Sir. Come on.
It shouldn't be.
Amen.
It's not to me.
Amen.
I mean, I have to do all the work. But it's in my heart.
That's right.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Amen.
When God calls you to preach, you can't help but preach.
Amen.
It's there's just a fire in there that burns, and you have to preach. But listen, simple things are less confusing. They're more efficient. They're more enjoyable. And they invite other people. Other people see that this is where there's really something happening. It's not all about all of the superfluous things, all of the junk around. It's about simplicity. It's about let's wipe all that away and let's see Jesus again.
Amen.
Yes, I know we're soldiers in the Lord's army. Yes, I know we wrestle against spiritual wickedness. Yes, I know we must take heed lest we fall. Yes, I know we must fight the good fight of faith. Yes, I know we must flee idolatry and fornication. Yes, I know we must resist the devil. Yes, I know we must overcome temptation. true, we must glorify God in our bodies and our spirits. Yes, we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to work, for the night is coming. I know those things. Those things are all Bible, straight out of the Word of God. I'm not saying that those things aren't true or that they don't apply, but I'm saying that in light of all the demands of Christianity and the Christian life, we can simplify it, boiling it down to one word, Christ.
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
You'll be able to accomplish so much more when you boil it down to one word, one person, Christ.
Amen.
This life has demands on it whether you're saved or not.
Amen.
This life has demands and toils and burdens and struggles and trials and hurts and aches and sicknesses and all kinds of things that are unpleasant and unkind. And it doesn't matter whether you're saved or lost. But the point of the message is that in Christ Jesus, regardless of all of those other things, we still have simplicity because we always have Christ.
Amen.
The unsaved life of clutter, confusion, and burden and pain and toil and struggle, that is not a simple life. The way of the transgressor, the Bible says, is hard.
Amen.
It's hard. It's not simple.
Yes, sir.
There's simplicity in Christ. It's opposed to the lost man has a very complicated life, such as the life of a cat. Let me read to you some excerpts from the diary of a cat. Is Elena in the nursery? Are we recording this for her? Okay. Here's the excerpts from the diary of a cat. This is the complicated life, okay? Day 283 of my captivity. My captors continue to taunt me with bizarre little dangling objects. They dine lavishly on fresh meat while I'm forced to eat this dry cereal. I'm sustained by the hope of escape and the mild satisfaction I derive from ruining a few pieces of furniture. Tomorrow I may eat another houseplant. I attempted to kill my captors this morning by weaving my way through their walking feet. So you cat lovers are sitting there saying... You know this is true. The excerpts of a cat's diary. I nearly succeeded. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to try this at the top of the stairs. Excerpts from the diary of a cat. Seeking to disgust and repulse these vile oppressors, I once again induce myself to vomit on their favorite chair. I must try this on their bed. To display my diabolical disposition. Y'all are getting real quiet. Y'all must all love cats. To display my diabolical disposition, I decapitated a mouse today. And I deposited the headless body on the kitchen floor. They only cooed and condescended and patted my head and said, good little kitty. It's not working like I wanted it to. It's a complicated life, isn't it? During a gathering of their accomplices, they placed me in solitary confinement. I overheard them say something about the power of allergies. I've got to learn what that means so I know how to use it. I'm convinced the other household captives are flunkies, maybe even snitches. The dog is routinely released and he naively, happily returns. He's no doubt a halfwit. The bird speaks to the humans. Must be an informant. What a complicated life. I'm certain he reports my every move. Due to his current placement in that metal cage, his safety is assured, but I can't wait. One day, it's just a matter of time. I'm going to get that bird. What a miserable life. That's some of your lives, isn't it? Oh, I've got to get up and go to church today. I'm in such bondage. I'm in such pain. It's such a drudgery. It's so hard to be a Christian. It's so hard to live a Christian life. You felt that way. You thought that way. Don't look at me cross-eyed. I know you have. Let me give you the life of a simple diary of a dog. The simple life. 8 o'clock a.m. Oh boy, dog food, my favorite. 9:30 a.m. Oh boy, a car ride, my favorite. 9:40 a.m. Oh boy, a walk, my favorite. 10:30 a.m. Oh boy, another car ride, my favorite. 11:30, oh boy, more dog food, my favorite. 12 o'clock p.m., oh boy, the kids, my favorite. 1 o'clock, oh boy, the yard, my favorite. 4 o'clock, oh boy, the kids again, my favorite. Oh boy, dog food again, my favorite. Oh boy, mom, my favorite. Oh boy, playing ball, my favorite. Oh boy, sleeping in Johnny's bed, my favorite. Now, which one of those lives is simple? Amen. The dog. God, I don't know why God made cats, to remind us that life ought to be simple, not complicated. But listen to me. I'm talking to you tonight about a complicated life that most Christians go through, living where they just can't seem to find any joy. And the dog says, you know what? I don't care what's going on. I'm just going to enjoy it. This is my favorite. This is my favorite. This is my favorite. You say he's a halfway. He's not a halfway. He has joy.
Yeah, man. That's right.
Sometimes we overthink Christianity. We overanalyze it. We overcomplicate it. Simplify your life. Number one, quickly, simplify your love for Christ.
Amen.
Look in verse 2. I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. As a saved church member, you are espoused to Christ. As espousal is a Jewish term. It simply means engaged or your promise. You're as good as married. You're just not married yet. Okay? It's not like the American engagement routine where when you just have a bad day, you break it off. When you are espoused in Jewish days, you were just as good as married. It just hadn't come to fruition yet. It hadn't been conceived yet. But the fact is, we as God's children, saved a part of the church, we are the bride of Christ. We are espoused to Christ. We will one day consummate that marriage at the marriage supper of the Lamb, when Jesus Christ comes to the clouds and we're called up to be with Him, and those that are dead in Christ are resurrected, and those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We are espoused to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we ought to just simply simplify our love for Him. We are His.
Amen.
It's not about all of the other things around us. It's about a love for a Savior who has bought us with a price and purchased us with His love. We belong to Him. We are espoused to Him. We ought to do what we do out of love for Him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Simplify your love for Christ.
Amen.
We're already His.
Amen.
We just haven't had the wedding yet. We need to simplify our love for Christ. In a sense, think about this. Speaking of the marriage and the husband and wife, He's our covering.
That's right.
Listen, a husband is his wife's covering, mainly meaning protection. Jesus is our covering.
Amen.
He's our protection. He's our shield. Jesus also is our comforter.
Amen.
Listen, just simplify your love for Him. He covers you. He comforts you. He's in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible calls that Spirit the Comforter.
Amen.
Stop taking things too hard. Stop being so overcomplicated. He's the comforter. He's also the completer. We are complete in Christ. We do not have, we don't need anything else. We can never be more saved. We can never be more part of His bride. We can never be more saved. We can never be more belong to Him more. We are complete, 100% entire in Christ. He's everything that we need. Everything. We're complete. Just simplify. You don't lack anything, Christian.
Amen.
I know you listen. I know you hear preaching about growing and being more mature and getting right. But if you'll just simplify your love for Jesus, all of that will just come naturally.
Yep. Amen.
Because you'll do it because you love Him.
That's right.
It won't be, oh, I've got it. I mean, I understand how you just think, well, I'm never going to get this thing right. I'm never going to. Okay, stop complicating it and simplify your love for Jesus, and you'll begin to understand why. And you'll begin to want to get right. You'll be want to stay right because you love Him. You're complete in Him. He's your covering. He's your comforter. He's your completer. He's your companion.
Amen.
He never leaves you.
That's right.
Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
You know, you're married to a spouse. If you're married here tonight, you have a husband or a wife, and they go off to work, whatever. My wife tells me all the time, she says, sometimes I stay out studying or doing some other things late, and I come home, and she says, I'm glad you're home. I couldn't sleep. What do you mean you couldn't sleep? You've been in bed for 2 hours. I couldn't sleep. I just can't sleep when you're not here. Why? Because we're one flesh. And when I'm not there, there's something missing. You never have that with Jesus. Are you listening to me? You never have that with Jesus. He's your companion. Constant companion. He never leaves you. He never forsakes. He's your companion. Hey, let me say this. He's your closest friend.
Yes, sir.
He's your closest friend.
Amen.
Just simplify your love for Christ. There is a friend, the Bible says, that sticketh closer than a brother. He is your friend. And a friend, the Bible says, loveth at all times. At all times. Would you think, well, I messed up yesterday. I messed up last week. Jesus did not stop loving you.
Amen.
He is your friend. And the Bible says, a friend loveth at all times.
Amen.
He is your closest friend. He's the one that you can confide in. You can tell Him anything, and He won't tell anybody.
Amen.
Amen. Matter of fact, He understands because He's been there. He's been tempted in all points, just like us, without sin, however. But He knows how it feels to be tempted. A friend can relate to you. I mean, by the way, you know, spouses, you husbands and wives, you ought to be each other's best friend,
amen,
humanly speaking. He is our closest friend. He's our caregiver. When we're weak, He strengthens us. When we're sad, He helps us. He gives us joy. He's our caregiver. I talked to my mother yesterday. It was her birthday. Sister Liz, you and my mom share the same birthday. I don't think that means anything, but it was just interesting. I talked to her yesterday and wished her happy birthday for a little while. And I asked her, well, she was telling me about her dad, my grandfather, my grandpa. I call him Grandpa, okay? I'm from the South. I don't say grandfather. Grandpa. I think there's a W on the end of that too. Grandpa. Okay? But anyway, speaking of caregivers, she was saying that my grandpa he's 93, and he's suffering with dementia. He's losing his mind. I mean, he's doing things that, in the middle of the night, he just wakes up all night long, calling out for people that have been dead for years. His mother, his father, his brother, his sister. And just calls out in the middle of the night, at the top of his lungs, Mac, Jack, where are you? Those were his brothers. They died in the Navy during the war. And my grandma, of course, is laying beside him. And she can't rest. She can't do anything. She can't control him. He's supposed to wear oxygen. He won't keep it on. He's always ripping. He's just gotten to be cantankerous. And well, they live in a home, assisted living home. And this is what my mom told me. The people that work there, the nurses that work there, they just love my grandma and grandpa. And you would too if you got to know them. They are the sweetest people you'd ever meet. But my grandpa is just not himself right now. He's losing his mind. But they love him so much that they go in there like 3 o'clock in the morning. They get him up. They get him dressed. And they bring him out into the cafeteria area where they're at, where they're the nurse's station, so they can keep an eye on him. So grandma can rest. And then grandma says she gets up in the morning and she goes out to breakfast, and there is grandpa sitting there waiting for him. They've watched him all night long.
Amen. That's good.
Now I know that's their job, but they don't have to go that extra measure. They could just say, you know, shut up, be quiet, go to sleep, deal with it, he's your husband. But they don't. They care, they give care. Yeah. They take care of him. Yeah. Well, folks, Jesus goes the extra mile to take care of you. You may not be losing your mind, but sometimes you feel like it, don't you? And come on, just be honest with me. Sometimes you just feel like this ain't working. I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know where I'm doing. I don't know why. You just become a confused, cluttered mess. And you realize, wait a minute, I'm going to simplify this thing, down, boil it down to what it really means. I have a caregiver in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who knows every ache, every pain, every burden, and He's taking care of me. He has gone the extra mile. He loves me when nobody else even cares.
Amen.
He cares for me.
Amen.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. He catches us when we fall.
Amen.
A just man falls 7 times but rises up again. How is that? Because he has a friend and a caregiver and a provider and a helper and a comforter in Jesus Christ who catches us when we fall, who lifts us back. And listen, notice again in verse 3, I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Godly jealousy. God, Jesus Christ, is a jealous bridegroom. He does not want you to share you with anybody.
Amen.
Now, if you're married, you understand a little bit about that.
Amen.
You don't want to share your husband or your wife with somebody else. You ought to be jealous. Godly jealousy is good jealousy, where you love. It's a love and a compassion and a desire to protect and care for that person. And you don't want them to stray and wander off to where somebody else wins their loyalty, their love. He's godly jealous over us.
That's right.
Simplify this thing down to Jesus. That's what I'm trying to get you to see tonight. Stop overcomplicating this Christianity. Simplify your love for Jesus Christ. A simplified love is a surrendered love. It's a love for one bridegroom, one espoused husband.
Amen. Amen.
In reality, the reason life gets complicated, let me just preach a little bit here, is because you start drifting to other loves.
Yep. Amen. Yes, sir.
Are you listening? Your mind, your heart, your feet begin drifting toward other loves. The love of this world. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot serve two masters. You will love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot partake of the devil's cup and the Lord's cup. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the devil's table. It's not possible. The reason it gets complicated, the reason it gets hard, is because your love is drifting.
Amen.
Simplify your love for Christ.
Amen.
You're not going to find covering, comfort, completion, companionship, closest friend, caregiver, catching you carefully. You're not going to find that anywhere in this world.
Amen.
Nowhere. Simplify your love for Christ.
Amen.
Next, once you simplify your love for Christ, you will naturally simplify how you look at the Bible.
Amen.
How you look at the Word of God.
Amen.
Simplicity in our text here, verse 3, it means simple, it means uncluttered. But uncluttered also means, if you think about it, it means single. Single-minded. Hold your place here, but turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. Simplify your love for Jesus, and it will naturally simplify the way you look at the Bible. Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, simple, focused on one thing, thy whole body shall be full of light. Isn't that a wonderful verse? But if thine eye be evil, do you notice, church, listen to me, you only have two choices. You're either single or you're evil.
That's right.
You're either simply in love with Jesus Christ or somewhere there's evil crept in. If your eye be single, focused on Jesus, and your eye be single, focused on the light, He is the light of the world. Amen. Why are y'all getting so quiet? But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Notice this next sentence. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You know that the light that's in you can be darkness if you take your eyes off of the source of light?
Yes, sir. That's right.
If your love starts wandering away from the light, you're no longer single, simple, in love with Jesus, you begin to drift to the right or to the left. Then that light that's in you, the Bible says, now there's no light in a lost person. This is written to Christians.
Amen.
Listen to me.
Amen.
The light that's in you becomes darkness. Not just darkness, but great darkness.
Yes, sir.
Because you're not simply in love with Jesus. You're not looking at the Word of God as a love letter, as a help and a strength. This is the written Word. Jesus is the living Word. He is the light of the world. This brings the entrance of thy Word giveth light. They are both light. Simple light. Love light. That's simplicity. That's nothing but light and help and strength. But people, when they get their eyes off the Lord, when they get their hearts drawn away to something else, their love is no longer for their bridegroom. The Bible becomes darkness.
Amen.
The Bible becomes a sword. It is a sword. Always will be. But it's a sword that helps you if you love Jesus. It's a sword that you are drawn to if you love Jesus. It's a sword that you love and look forward to. Notice again, back in our text, 2 Corinthians 11. The simplicity, single-minded, just in love with Jesus and nobody else, can be corrupted. Look in verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Garden of Eden. The serpent, the devil, beguiled, tricked, he fooled, he deceived Eve. He's referring to the Garden of Eden. Satan tricked Eve into believing what? His word instead of God's. See, the simplicity was, boy, you can't have a much more simple life than the Garden of Eden. I mean, until we get to heaven. Humanly speaking, on this earth, you can't have a much more simple life. Live your life, love your husband, love your wife, have a boatload of children, and just enjoy paradise, but don't eat of that one tree.
Amen.
You can't get much more simple than that. Don't eat that one tree. Should have been simple.
Yep.
It should have been simple. I've got all of this. God walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. But I still wonder about that tree over there.
Yep.
It should have been simple. It should have been simple. Christianity should be simple.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You love Jesus, then you look at His Word as His Word. Truth. Her mind, notice what it says. serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted. What is your mind? Your mind perceives something. When it's corrupted, it perceives something different than what it really is. Are you listening to me? You see something as harmful, as hurtful, as dangerous, as, oh no, this is too much of a burden, when in reality, it's the Word of God. It's the love of God. It's the life that God has given you. It's the source of your salvation. It's like Mother Roloff said, this is my mother. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It ought to be simple. It ought to be our favorite book. It ought to be our heart's desire, but do we even read it?
Come on now. Yep.
If you did, life would be a lot simpler.
Amen, preacher.
You're looking for some human author to tell you how to overcome, how to cope.
Yep.
God's not interested in you coping. Amen. God says you can overcome.
Amen, preacher.
Victory, not coping.
Amen.
That's a bunch of garbage!
Amen.
You're looking for a human author to tell you, well, this is how you get through. God says overcome it. God says live above it. God says have abundant life. But you don't even read the Bible!
Amen.
Because you look at it as, oh, I can't understand it.
Yep.
It's too hard. And you're complicating your whole life. When the answer to every problem you have is right there.
Amen.
Every single problem, whether it's sleeping at night, whether it's eating right, whether it's loving or not loving, it's every single problem is right there.
Amen. Amen.
But you don't even read it.
Mom.
You don't even read it. Satan. God says, you are mine. You're complete in Christ. I have ransomed you. I have redeemed you. You are reconciled unto me. I am your heavenly Father. The blood of Christ has cleansed you from all sin. It's dead level, honest and simple as it can be, but you won't read it. You begin to think it's, well, maybe that's not really true. Your mind is corrupted. She, notice, she wasn't sick. She wasn't uneducated. She was corrupted. When you don't have a simple love for this book, you're corrupted.
Amen, preacher.
Stop making excuses. When you're looking for anything and everything else to get you through your problem, and this book has nothing but a bunch of dust on your shelf, you are corrupted.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And you need somebody to tell you that.
Amen.
Not because you're weird, but because Satan has beguiled you.
Yep.
His subtle ways. Now, subtle is an interesting Bible word. It means he has snuck in under the door somewhere, through the cracks in your armor, and he has began to whisper, just like he did to Eve. Yea, hath God said? Did God say you can't? God is so overbearing. God is so mean. You can't even understand that book anyway. All that preacher ever does is read the Bible. Read the Bible in Sunday school. Read the Bible in Sunday morning. Read the Bible and preach verse after verse after verse. I don't... Listen, and if that's not what you want, you are corrupted.
Amen.
Listen to the preacher. Listen to the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Satan has you wrapped around his wicked thumb.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
Look at me. Listen to me.
Yep.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
It ought to be simple. I simplify my love for Christ. That in turn simplifies the how I look at this book. This is His Word.
Amen.
This is His help. This is His Word. This is everything. This is the standard for all faith and all practice. This is very important. This is essential. This is irreplaceable. It should be simple. It should. By the way, when a Christian first gets saved, when a boy or a girl or a young man or a young lady gets saved and they read the whole Bible in a month, why is that? Because they have an absolute love for that book.
Amen.
But then all of a sudden it starts to kind of wane, doesn't it? I haven't read it in a week. I won't even memorize the one Bible verse the preacher gives us. One Bible verse a month. You're corrupted, friend.
Yeah, man.
I'm trying to help you.
Yes, sir. It's good.
I'm trying to help you. It should be simple.
Yeah, man.
This everything. That is Christ. If you simplify your love for Christ, you will love that book.
Amen.
You won't try to find another author.
Amen.
What do they know? God is the author of life. God created you. He knows what you need. He knows how to help you. He knows how to get you through. He knows how to get you over. He knows everything. What does that stinking author know anyway?
Amen.
You're paying money. And you got a Bible in your lap. You're paying money to this author, read that book, and read this book, and read that book. And I'm going to go to this counseling and that psychologist and that psychiatrist. What is wrong with you? You're corrupted.
Amen. Amen.
I love you, but you need to hear this.
Good.
You're corrupted.
Amen.
Christianity is not about all that. Christ.
Yep.
Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. You may not understand that, but you need to listen to the preacher and understand the Word of God. And it's telling you, Christ is all you need.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
Quit spending your money. Quit wasting your time and your effort and your money on all the medication and all the pharmaceuticals and all the books and all the psychologists. What about Christ? You don't even read the Bible.
Amen.
You're corrupted. I didn't say it. God did.
Amen.
It's not difficult. See, you're thinking it's difficult right now. You're getting all tensed up. It's not complicated.
Amen.
Jesus is all I need. This is His Word. This is going to tell me everything I need to know. That's simple.
Amen.
I don't need another book. I don't need another drug. I don't need another doctor. I have the great physician.
Amen.
It's simple. Don't overcomplicate it. Let me say this way. Don't let Satan overcomplicate your life by corrupting you. You simplify your love for Jesus. You simplify the way you look at this book. I close with this illustration. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Beginning in verse 53. John 6, 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is meat indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He that eateth My flesh and drinketh My blood dwelleth in Me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent Me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth Me, even he shall live by Me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever.
Amen.
Who said all that? Who?
Jesus.
And where has it been recorded? In His Word. Now, these things said He in the synagogue in verse 59 as He taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" They should have said, "That's simple. All I need is Christ. I'll have everlasting life. He'll raise me up. That's all I need." Instead, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" People come into an independent, fundamental Baptist church, and the preacher starts preaching, and he gets a little bit unraveled. Because he preaches Jesus. Because he preaches that book. Because he preaches absolute truth, the way, the truth, the life. He preaches one way, one truth, one narrow-minded, yes, but it is the only way. And it may be small and narrow, but it's the only way that leadeth to life. And the Word of God says it, Jesus said it, and the man of God has to preach it. And it ought to be something simple. It clears up all the clutter. It gives you direction. It helps you through all your troubles. But instead, this is a hard saying.
Yep. Come on, preacher.
What's hard about it?
Come on.
You know what's hard about it?
Yep.
Your heart.
Yeah, man.
Your heart. That's not what Mom told me. That's not what Daddy told me. That's not what my doctor told me. That's not what my therapist told me. And by the way, every single one of them is going to be dead, and Jesus is alive forevermore.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
It's not complicated. You're complicating it.
Yes, sir.
Because you're corrupted. Because Satan has beguiled you. They said, "Look, now listen, we're not done. This is a hard saying. Who can hear? I'm not going back to that church. I'm not going back to that church. There's no way I'm going to ever listen to that preacher again." Why? Jesus said, "I'll give you life. I'll raise you up in the last day. You can have all of me. I will be all yours. You'll be all mine." I'm not going back to that church. He's weird. Jesus, in verse 61, knew in himself that his disciple murmured. By the way, I can usually tell when you're murmuring by your countenance.
Amen.
I love you, but you are murmuring against God, not me. Not me. Jesus knew in himself his disciples murmured at it. And he said unto them, "Does this offend you?" Now, I'm not going to go any further than what he said, okay? "What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" He said, "You're going to see me go back to heaven. You're going to realize this is real."
Yep.
Instead of offending, you ought to be getting born again. You ought to be getting right. You ought to be simplifying your life.
Amen.
"It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." Boy, he is just hammering the nails harder and harder. Your flesh is telling you this is too hard to hear. Your flesh is wicked, sinful, ungodly, and your flesh is profiting you nothing. That's what he said. "But the Spirit of God, which is in me, which is the author of this book," Jesus said, "is going to give you life. It quickeneth." That means it gives you life. It is the source of life. Your flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. This book is spirit and it is life. It is spirit and it is life. How do you see it?
Come on.
Is it your life?
Come on. Amen.
"But there are some of you that believe not." How in the world could you be looking face to face with Jesus and hearing Him speak to you and then say, "This guy's..." It's verses like that that keep me preaching.
Amen.
I said, it's verses like that that keep me preaching. Because if they can do that to Jesus, well, I surely expect them to do it to me.
Yes, sir.
If they can do that to the very Son of God, standing in the flesh in front of them, speaking the very Word of God given to Him straight from heaven, and they said, oh, this is a bunch of junk. Well, they're corrupted.
Yes, sir.
They're corrupted. And He goes on. There are some of you who believe not. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray. I don't know who they are, but He does. And then He said in verse 65, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him the Father. Verse 66, that Brother Roloff said, this is the saddest verse in the Bible. This is the satanic verse in the Bible, if that's possible. John 6:66. 666, the number of the beast. From that time, many of His disciples went back and, notice, walked no more with Him. He was the Son of God in the flesh, speaking the very Word of God. He was Christ. He was everything they needed. He told them everything that they needed for life, for everlasting life, forgiveness of sin, absolute eternity in heaven, and they walked away. Why? Because their lives were complicated and their minds were corrupted.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Then said Jesus in verse 67 unto the 12, and I say to you tonight, will you also go away? Preacher, a lot of people left our church. You don't need to tell me that. I'm aware of that. As a matter of fact, I stay up nights because of that. And I weep. Because I know that they're heading straight to destruction. Because I know that somewhere along the way, Satan crept in and corrupted their minds. And I feel like, God, what could I have done to help them stay? God, what could I have preached . Is there something that I could have said? Is there something I could have done? It's too late for them. They're gone. I hope that they get right. All I can do is say to you, you also go away? All I can pray and beg God is that your answer will be what Peter says.
Amen.
Peter said to him, Simon Peter in verse 68 answered, Lord, notice he says to whom?
Amen.
Not where. But to whom? To whom shall we go? You know what he's saying, church? He's saying, our love is for you.
Amen.
You. Who else are we going to run to? To whom shall we go? His love was simplified. It was Christ.
Amen.
To whom shall we go? It's not about where, it's about whom. He said, thou hast, notice what he says, the words.
Amen.
He said, Lord, where am I going to go? Who am I going to go to? Who am I going to go to? I love you, and your words have changed my life.
Amen.
That's pretty simple. That's pretty simple. Simplicity in Christ. Love the Lord. Look at His book like you should look at it. His words are life.
Amen.
Peter didn't go anywhere. Oh yeah, he didn't. I know he didn't have a perfect life. But in the end, he stood up and he said, thus saith the Lord. How do I know? Because I love Him and I love His word.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what he said. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Is that your answer? Is what you hear tonight encourage you, or are you going to leave out of here huffing and puffing because I preached at you? If you simplify your love for Christ and simplify the way you look at His Word, you won't go anywhere because Christ is all you need. You still looking for a new drug, a new answer, a new doctor? Listen, this is what you need.
Yeah, man. That's right.
This is what you need. Kiss. Keep it simple, saints of God. Christ and His Word. It's not complicated. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. No one looking around.